That means it's time for the Ask Dr. Rick program here on KVSH Radio as we welcome in Dr. Richard Malacek from the Cherry County Hospital here in Valentine. We just want to remind folks that we're here for entertainment and information. We're not going to offer, well, I know I'm not going to offer any medical advice because that would not be worth it. So anyway, Dr. Rick.
Yes, sir.
How are you today?
I am wonderful, doing well.
So we're going to talk about sleep or lack thereof today.
Yes, sleep and sleep hygiene. So I did not practice good sleep hygiene last night. I was doing this, doing the laundry, and cleaning up the house. My wife's coming to visit for the weekend, so
I have to get
a Tiffany clean, which is so much different than
the way it normally is.
Yeah, she usually walks in and says, oh, you straightened up. I'm like,
okay, so. Straightened up. You know what I mean? I worked for 3 hours. To
3 hours. You should have saw this place before I even started it. Yeah, so.
So there's the old, I don't know, old adage or whatever that everybody needs to get 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this to you earlier that it seems like we've changed the food pyramid and we've changed some other things, changed where maybe our blood pressure should be at. We'd lowered that a little bit, but we have not changed how much sleep everybody needs.
Right. Now, sleep is not a luxury. It's critical for good health. So we're going to talk about sleep hygiene. So our requirement for sleep changes as we get older. Newborns need 14 to 17 hours, including nap time. Infants, 12 to 16 hours. Toddlers, 11 to 14. School-age kids, 9 to 12. But as an adult, they say, 7 to 8 hours of sleep is really what you need. And what you're trying to do is get into... Well, there's four cycles of sleep. So there's awake time. Okay,
get right.
Bed, you're kind of awake. There's
kind of now.
Yep. Kind of for me. And there's light sleep, and there's deep sleep, and then REM sleep. And what you're really trying to do is get into a cycle where you're getting through all these steps in 90 to 120 minutes. And if you just to do the math, that comes about 7 or 8 hours.
So that's what you want to get through those cycles.
Yes, you want to get through the cycles and... they have each important thing. So there's awake time, which is, again, so just getting to bed, and we can talk about how to get ready for bed. I mean, there's a process. And then light sleep. So you get muscle relaxing. You can feel yourself jerk every once in a while. You get slow respirations. Your heart rate goes down. Your body temperature goes down. And then from the light sleep, which is your guide into deeper level sleep. So some people break sleep into four cycles, some people five, and then some people say REM and non-REM sleep. So deep cycle sleep. This is when you get delta waves in your brain and your blood pressure goes down. And this is when you release growth hormone. So this is when kids tend to grow. And growth hormone also helps our tissues grow and we do repair. And it's starting, the brain starts to clean itself. So deep sleep, you start to clean yourself, clean your brain. And then you get into REM sleep, which is increased respirations, heart rate. Your temp regulation goes off, so sometimes you wake up sweaty. And this is when you get vivid dreams. And the REM sleep is really beneficial for memory, learning, and cognitive stuff for your brain. So Alzheimer's, there's a protein that builds up in your brain called tau proteins. And you get these neurofiber tangles in your brain. But they think that the brain has some sort of lymphatic system, as the lymphatic system, which and during deep sleep you start to clean your brain and get the stuff out there that are accumulating, and you sweep it out through your cerebral spinal fluid, and can help protect you from Alzheimer's disease, which is the number one leading cause of dementia.
Sounds like a pretty complicated system.
Yeah, no, it really is, and it's easy to screw it up and mess it up. And I think
so. REM sleep, and you said that's where your brain is active and stuff. So, but that's the most restorative time
For cognitive stuff. So okay. REM is rapid eye movement sleep, and REM sleep sort of helps you make short-term memories go into long-term memories, and your body can relive some things that go on during the day. But that's really good for your squash and your melanin, keeping your brain going in the right direction.
So the rest, and when they tell you you've been sick and you need to rest, you need to sleep, hopefully if you get into those stages of sleep, then your body is repairing itself.
Yes, that's the important thing. And when you don't, so what if you don't get enough sleep? Well, there's a lot of things that go on. There's a sleep disorder, so you could have insomnia, which is the inability to initiate sleep, or you just have these early morning awakenings where you wake up like 3 hours before your alarm and you toss and turn. And that'll cause daytime sleepiness. And one of the number one cause for accidents and injuries in this country we live in is lack of sleep. Narcolepsy, which is that excessive daytime sleepiness, or have episodes of irresistible sleepiness associated with sudden muscle weakness. So you've seen the show, the videos where they have those goats and they clap their hands and they all fall over and become rigid. So that's narcolepsy. And if you have restless leg syndrome, which is that unpleasant creeping sensation in your legs or aches and pains in your legs, and that turns out, they sort of figured out that's a dopamine problem. Dopamine is one of the major neurotransmitters, and they actually have a medication called Requip, which can help with restless leg syndrome.
Okay.
Then we have sleep apnea, which is whole nother show that we'll probably do somewhere down the line. That's a lot of time. Then there's two types. There's central sleep apnea, which is we get older, we sometimes lose our drive of sleep. And then there's obstructive sleep apnea, where we get into the deeper stages of sleep, where we start to kind of get relaxed and our airways close. And then you kind of obstruct, you can't breathe. And that's where the snoring comes. And that's where some people decide not to sleep in the same room as you do.
Or you have to change positions, sleep on your side or something rather than on your back. Again, we're talking to Dr. Richard Malachek from Cherry County Hospital, and this is for information purposes today on sleep. But if you have questions, you can text me at 402-376-6842, or you can email mike@kvsh.com, and we'll ask Dr. Rick those questions. You were going through some of the different stages of sleep. What about stages of your life where you're younger, you're middle age, you're getting older? Do your habits and needs both change?
Now, people used to think that as we got older, we needed less sleep. We actually need the same amount, or we do sleep as much. As we get older, sleep changes like a lot of things in our body changes as we get older. And what it happens when we get older, we tend to secrete less melatonin. We can talk about melatonin in a minute. And we actually spend more time in light sleep. Why? Well, they say, people, as we get older, me and you being early age of 50, our prostate grows about 3% each year, and we have to get up and go to the bathroom. I have a dog that thinks we should play tennis ball no matter what time I get out of bed, and gets herself all fired up, and then every other dog that we have fired up. So I'll sit there and try toughing it out all night, and I don't get good sleep. I don't get into those deeper stages of sleep where she could relax and then, I guess, wet yourself.
Right.
Haven't done that yet. So, and then as we get older, people stay in light sleep because maybe they're chronic problems like sleep apnea. Maybe they have aches and pains that don't allow them to sleep throughout the night, so you're not getting those full cycles of 90 to 20 minutes where you go through all four stages of sleep. And so that's why we think as we get older, less restful sleep. We're always chasing that good night of sleep, right? And it gets very far away from us.
So do you ever know of somebody that gets better sleep as they get older, that maybe as they were younger they didn't get the sleep, but as they get older then they start finding out that they can sleep a little more longer or whatever?
Well, there's some changes as we when I was a kid, my parents always get to sleep. As we go through puberty and we start to develop, we actually become night owls, or we kids become night owls. And they tend to go to sleep later and want to wake up later. And it's just something that drives that. So I have some tips on what you can give your teenagers on tips. So I know my dogs sleep a lot better. They sleep longer. And things like that. But I guess if you've had a sleep problem, people have insomnia. These seem to be cool. I read this last night. I thought it was they are inward thinking people, which means they have constant cyclic events in their brain that keep going around and around. They don't let them get into that sleep cycle. So some people grow out of the insomnia. Maybe they change their life and they don't have as much anxiety and things like that, and can get out of the insomnia part sleep. Tips for teens, though. It's estimated that 2/3 of all teens don't get enough sleep. So there's things you can do. And this one I think is going to cause a lot of problems. I think somebody's going to come in and prefer a prescription for this. It's discuss later start times for teens in school.
I've heard that, and it has been discussed that they should start like at 9 o'clock or something rather than 8 o'clock.
My son would probably say noon, but
noon to two.
Yeah, noon to two, maybe half hour for lunch. So maybe discuss some later times for start for kids. Consistent sleep cycles. Go to bed same time. Wake up at the same time. Let light in the morning. My mom used to come in and be like, uppy, 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 and open up the curtains and hear moans and groans. But getting early morning light during the winter hours when you don't have a lot of light and you're indoors more, and we're using these lights that are above us now, they sell little lights that are very bright. And one thing I do is I turn it on in the morning. I have one in the kitchen, and when I'm in there, fumbling around, I have a very bright light. For me, it's made a difference.
Really?
Yeah. You buy them on Amazon. They're really cheap.
Okay.
Ban electronics in the bedroom. Keep TVs, video cameras, computers out of the bedroom, okay? they say your bed is for really two things: sleep
and the other one.
I almost said it. And then communication curfew. Set a time when your teen can no longer send texts, check emails, social media, talk on the phone. I could talk a little bit about, you know, getting ready for sleep. But one of the things that you hear about is blue light. And so when people can't sleep, what do? They pick up their cell phone and they, you know, it's a bright screen. Uh-huh. And it's that blue light. And blue light and green lights, which are very popular in electronics, actually screw with your sleep cycle. Why is melatonin released? So when you get light in your eye, your nerves go back in your eye, then they cross, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of behind your nose and the roof of your mouth. There's something called the pineal gland there. And the pineal gland secretes melatonin. So it senses lights, has signal that there's lights, and then you get melatonin. Melatonin is not I guess you call it a sleep aid, but it's not a sleeping pill. Melatonin is lower during the day and higher at night. So you're trying to get yourself into a sort of a rhythm of, hey, melatonin's higher at night. That probably triggers a lot of things. We get into something called the circadian rhythms. But getting on your phone or turning on the TV is a bad thing because it's going to interrupt the melatonin cycle and your sleep cycles. And so one of the things is not to be around bright lights at night before you go to sleep. Go, you know, start dimming the lights. Lights that have more of a yellow or orange hue to it kind of aren't the bright lights that are stimulating and can kind of mess up with the melatonin that you're naturally secreting.
Now, some devices, I mean, if somebody's on their Kindle or whatever, there's screen settings on those.
The sleep mode, it changes the lettering that would be white, black, and or white. Or it reverses it a little bit, so you're not getting a whole blast of light that might be interfering with that. So, yeah, I guess that's a good idea.
So if you have that on there, you'd probably be better if you're going to watch a movie to go to sleep or something.
Yeah, I actually have it on my phone, and it kind of did it on its own.
Now you're trying to figure out how to get it out.
I can't get it off. I have to wait until my son comes or I go home next week. I'm like, can you fix this for me?
So I was going to ask you about the hours. You mentioned this a little bit earlier on, but you kind of get your body into a rhythm.
Yep.
And I usually get up at like 5 in the morning to come into work. And if I go to bed at 10 o'clock, I get up at 5. If I go to bed at 9 o'clock, I get up at somewhere after 4.
Yeah.
So my body apparently has that rhythm that says, oh, you've done 7 hours, get out.
Yeah. No, it's we are creatures of habit. And that sleep-wake cycle is just real important, keeping it the same time, keeping it consistent. We don't like changes. And so keeping it consistent, the same time, sleep and wake cycles – overall, it's going to give you better sleep hygiene. It's going to get you into that 90-120-minute cycle, get you into deep sleep and REM sleep. And so when you wake up, you're like,
you're refreshed.
Yeah, not like, I don't know why I did that. That didn't happen at all.
We're going to take a quick break in here, but we're going to be back, and we're going to talk more with Dr. Richard Malachek about sleep. So continuing on with our discussion about sleep with Dr. Malachek here. And Doc, I want to ask you about a full moon. A lot of people say that when there's a full moon or we just had a super moon not that long ago, they don't sleep well.
Huh.
What about that? Did you find anything in your expansive hours of research on that?
You're getting back at me, right? Because I always ask you questions I know you don't know.
I don't know. I mean,
this is stump the chump, right? I don't know.
Is that psychological? I don't know.
I know there's in medicine, the ERs tend to be, you know, they say, oh, full moon and the crazies are out and things tend to happen.
You can't say crazies on the radio.
Oh, the cray-crays? I don't know. What's the other word for it? People with maybe some mental illness.
I'm one that it seems to me like I'm not as restful when there is a full moon. And that hasn't been all the time, but just in the last couple of years. So,
I do not know that.
Okay.
I'll get back to you on that one.
We'll get an answer on that. Okay, so can you build up sleep? Let's say you got a big event coming up. I got to get extra rest, so I'm going to sleep a couple of extra hours every day for the 3 days before that. Can you stockpile rest?
No, but you can go into sleep deprivation. How about that?
Going the other way.
Yeah. So not uncommon when I treat patients in the hospital, you know, they had a surgery, they sent them home with some narcotics, and narcotics don't let you get into stage 4 sleep. So if you don't get enough REM sleep, your body will sort of say, okay, we're minus 100 hours of REM sleep. When you finally go to sleep, you'll spend more time in REM sleep. Yeah, the body only uses what it needs, and so I guess you can sleep an extra more, but will it be restful sleep? I don't know. Will you not get into the deeper? You know, a lot of this is driven through hormones and their circadian rhythms and cycles and things like that. So if you don't get enough REM sleep, your body will wait till you have a chance to get it and actually get more.
And then crash.
Yeah. So talking about sleep deprivation, so the national limit for alcohol, so saying that you're impaired intoxicated, is 0.08%. If you're awake for 18 hours, it's as analogous to a blood alcohol of 0.05%.
How many hours did you say?
If you're awake for 18 hours.
18 hours. 18. So 3/4 of a day.
Yeah. And if you're awake for 24 hours, it'd be equal to a blood alcohol of 0.1.
So when you're in training as a doctor and they make you work 36-hour shifts, that's not good.
No. Thank God they don't have us driving around the hospital. Actually, when I was in my residency, I did fall asleep at stoplights twice.
You can't drive around the hospital, but you can operate on sick.
Yeah, no. Well, that's changing. Sense, yeah, it makes no sense, but that used to be, especially with general surgery. Drowsy sleep causes 83,000 crashes per year and up to 6,000 fatalities per year. If you ask people between the age of 18 years or older, 1 out of 25 of them will report falling asleep at the wheel in the last 30 days.
1 out of 25?
Yeah, falling asleep. So
Why they put those rumble bars all over the road.
That would probably help, yeah, which will
in some places
scare you, yeah. So if you don't mind, let's jump over to melatonin, so because that seems to be the big thing out there. So melatonin is not a sleeping pill, but it's, you know, your body secretes melatonin. Melatonin's more amounts of it at nighttime than daytime, so it's not like it's absent during daytime. Melatonin goes down with age. If you take a supplement, it'll start in about 30 to 60 minutes, and will stay in your body for 4 to 10 hours. The adult maximum dose is 10 milligrams, and then at children, now we're not talking about toddlers or infants, like they need to sleep because I'm going nuts because they're crying all the time and have wet diapers.
Right.
But children, max dose of 5 milligrams. There's foods that have melatonin: pistachios, tart cherries, fatty fish, Golgi berries, whatever they are, and oats. Now, one thing I kind of learned here, melatonin, if you take it, I would probably talk to your doctor because it can interact with blood thinners and antiplatelet drugs, anticonvulsant or epilepsy drugs, and then oral contraceptives. So ladies out there, be advised. it can interact with oral contraceptives, and something may happen that you may not want to. Diabetes medications and an immunosuppressant. So if you have rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, or lupus, you shouldn't take melatonin without talking to your doctor. There are things that make melatonin decrease: alcohol, smoking, caffeine, doing shift work, meaning working at night, aging, and exposure to that blue light or green light that you talked about inside your cell phones and all those kind of goodies.
So here's a question for you. If you work at a job where 1 week you're working day shift, the next week you're working night shift, and how's that affect your body?
It definitely puts a monkey wrench in the thing. So, you know, we're supposed to be asleep when we're supposed to be asleep, and they almost say it's better that you just do nights all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That switch over, that's even melatonin can seem to help you, is when you're trying to convert yourself back over to days. You'll probably be missing REM sleep, so when you finally get a chance to sleep, you're going to catch up on the REM sleep. But it is really hard, and they've gotten away from, they're trying to promote less of that because, you know, sleep increases your lack of sleep can increase your risk of depression, cardiovascular risk, heart attacks, strokes, you name it. So I understand that there's some things that just happen at night, but they almost say you're better off to stay nights all the time and get your body into that cycle. Most of those people will come home and they have daylight blinds and they'll completely make their rooms dark. They'll get up at a certain time every day, not try to sleep over or less. And then when they wake up, they try to get exposed to as much bright light as they can.
I had somebody text me that said that two things, actually. One was a question.
Oh, wow.
And that was they wanted to know if I wanted to go to lunch. So but the other one was if a full moon affects your sleep, then you're a werewolf.
Yes.
I don't know. So here's a question. This, and I think everybody pretty much knows this, is when you're sick, people have gone through this latest round of COVID, whatever number it is now, and you sleep more.
Mm-hmm.
So sleep helps your body. If you can get into that REM sleep, then it helps your body fight off those kind of things and replenish itself.
Yeah, so we talked about in deep sleep, helps a growth hormone. Growth hormone is secreted, helps body restoration, and helps your immune system. Plus, you know, COVID's probably just knocking the tar out of you. So, you know, a good night's sleep is just an amazing thing, and you just think better. I mean, it's going to help you. I mean, lack of sleep. If you see animals that are stressed all the time, or an animal that's, you know, part of a herd and not part of the herd, and they're kicked out all the time, they have cortisol levels that go up all the time because they're nervous. Cortisol levels going up increases your heart rate, cortisol levels being up. And you have to actually, to keep yourself asleep, awake, you have to actually stress yourself really hard. And that stress hormone is cortisol, and it's terrible for diabetes. It's just terrible for everything. So it's a stressful thing to be awake. One of the reasons I like the job I have here, other than working in a great hospital with great people, is I was an acute care surgeon, which means I was up all night taking care of all the emergencies in three different hospitals. And one of the reasons driving purposes that made me come here is that twice, driving between hospitals about 2 or 3 years ago, I fell asleep at the wheel. And I wound up in a field and wanted to hit the rumble strips. And I just can't, at this age, keep myself physically awake. I mean, I don't really have to save a life, yeah, but the adrenaline's going, cortisol's up, everything else, but just to physically try to keep myself awake. When I was in my residency, I was doing transplant surgery, so you always are putting organs in and flying around. They kept me awake for 5.5 days, and I actually started hallucinating. It was kind of so bizarre. But they said, well, you need to go home and get some sleep, so they gave me an hour and a half sleep, and they called me back in for a transplant. But
so it tells you something when you have to have an alarm clock to get up. It means you're not fully rested.
Yeah, yeah.
Your body will wake up when it's rested and ready to go.
Ready to go.
If I'm not here Monday morning at 6 o'clock, I'm resting, okay?
Or you had a power outage.
Yeah, there are a power outage. So here's somebody who did call in a question for us. How might sleep be related to mental health and mental disorders? I think you touched on this a little bit earlier.
Yeah, so especially when it comes to depression, there are people that suffer from sleep apnea, and then they have the depression on top of it, and it's not uncommon that if it helps people with their sleep apnea, their depression gets better. And, you know, depression, you know, it's not, oh, somebody's just sad, you know, that they're just, you know, can't cope. Depression is, you know, a metabolical problem associated with certain neurotransmitters. And sleep, especially restorative sleep, helps you regenerate all those neurotransmitters and makes you just, I don't know, if I have a good night's sleep, I can conquer the world. And if I don't have a good night's sleep, it's very hard for me. And the overlap between sleep deprivation and depression is there. And again, sometimes treating the sleep disorders, and people have, I mean, sleep medicine is really amazing to me. If I had to really do it all over again, I'd go into sleep medicine. But you have to be either a neurologist or internal medicine doctor. But I think it's just the most fascinating thing. We abuse our sleep. Yeah, there's so many darn energy drinks out there and caffeine, and we think as human beings we need to, in the United States, work harder and sleep less. And it's really, our nation overall, in my opinion, are not getting healthier, right? We're one of the most obese population of any world countries.
And you brought us 5 gallons of yogurt-covered pretzels.
Pretzels, but yeah, I'm not helping that too. But, you know, it's just more caffeine, more stimulants, you know, that I love sleep. I get it whenever I can, and because I could be called in any moment, so I kind of prophylactically sleep, and because I never know when I'll be called in the middle of the night. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does, and I need to be on my game. But if I get a lot of phone calls at night, now they have to call me if a patient's having trouble. I get it, but it just really turns my sleep off a little bit. And a lot of residents now and surgery training programs, they actually are helping them get more hours of sleep and restful sleep, because burnout and depression run hand in hand with medical fields that really require you to be up all the time, awake all the time. I mean, I don't know, I'm always on call. When I'm sleeping, I'm always like, I don't understand. And most people even call me like, the phone rang once. And I'm like, I know. So I'm kind of sleeping, but I'm kind of always listening.
Kind of,
you know, don't want to miss that big call.
It's
so
probably not in REM sleep.
Yeah, so this place is not as busy as the big trauma centers, and I'm grateful for it. I am very grateful that I get my rest and sleep and fishing in. So.
And fishing. Well, that's kind of sleeping.
Yeah. So I think sleep is important. I think with depression, any mental illness, kind of like people who need to sleep deprive, and people that they actually try to do sleep deprivation just don't perform well on cognitive functions. We talked about lack of sleep is worse than, you know, being drunk.
So when terrorists use sleep deprivation as a torture measure,
yeah,
you know that's not good for you.
It becomes physically painful.
Yeah,
it is, and people are like, I just got to go to sleep. I'll say anything, and maybe they just beat you down. But it's one of them, it's either waterboarding or, you know, or tie me up and doing bad things to you, but sleep deprivation is one of those things that they'll just get in your mind about.
So we got a couple of minutes left here, Doc. How do we wrap this up about sleep? Just get plenty of sleep.
Get it frequently and often. Good quality sleep. Do good sleep hygiene. You know, put away the electronics. Stop drinking caffeine all day if you can. And stay away from the energy drinks that have ginseng, guanine, caffeine, all those things that we don't measure. But
anyway. Maybe we should do a program on stimulants that we have in our everyday life, whether it's an energy drink or whether it's just a tea, coffee, sugars, those kind of things.
Well, you might need them in the morning, but you don't need to tone them down before you go to sleep. They say don't drink any caffeine at least 3 to 6 hours prior to sleep, and most people say greater than 6 hours prior to sleep. So let me talk about my Dr. Rick's stupid fact.
Oh, yeah, we didn't get the stupid fact. Of course, we've covered a lot today.
They did.
I can't imagine we haven't said something.
I said most things are probably pretty stupid that I said. Actually, one other thing I want to talk about, Benadryl, people use it for Benadryl for sleep. So Benadryl is an antihistamine, and part of the side effect of Benadryl, it's an acetylcholine neurotransmitter blocker, and you see Z-Qual, and I'm not trying to diss Z-Qual or anything like that, but acetylcholine is really important for memory and cognition, and they did a study in 2018. They took 40,000 people, the age of 65 to 99, and they let them use like Benadryl for sleep, and they increased their risk of dementia significantly.
Oh, wow.
And that exposure effect continued for 20 years after they stopped using Benadryl or night for sleep.
So if they're 99 and it worked for 20 years after that.
Yeah. And it also...
That's kind of a scary fact, really, when you think about it.
And if you have a prostate problem, that acetylcholine is really needed for prostate to work and your muscles down there, so it could make you have urinary retention. So dog days of summer, right? Everybody says we just went through the dog days of summer. People think, well, that's because it's so weather not fit for a dog. But it actually comes out to the Sirius star. Sirius star is the brightest star in the canine major constellation. What does that have to do with anything? Well, it's a star that rises and sets in the summertime during the dog days of summer, which are between July 3rd and August 11th, while the sun comes up. So it follows the same path. Okay. And it's right next to the sun, where the sun would be, or the sun's going to come up. So people in the Romans' time figured, oh, maybe these two stars get together and make it hotter than it should be.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the closest star to the sun. And the reason why you see Sirius XM, there's a dog with a little star on its eye. Yeah. Because it's a canine constellation.
That's what it's from.
So the Egyptians actually based their calendar year on the Sirius star coming up. And they call it the dies canicularis, which means the canicular days were the days in late July where the Nile River floods and famine and a lot of people die. So that's why we had the dog days of summer.
Crazy time.
Yeah, I did not know that, right? You're like, I was a better person.
See, that's not a stupid fact. That's education.
Yeah, and then they actually have cat nights.
Cat nights?
Yeah, so the Irish legend, they think that witches can turn into cats 8 times in their witch cycle. I don't know what the hell that is, but witch cycle. And on the nighttime when they switch from a cat or a witch to a cat, on August 17th, they no longer can come back as a human. They have to stay a cat.
Oh, really?
Maybe it's that great cat that was cruising around.
I think I've seen that on Bewitched one time.
Maybe we're close to August 17th. You just said there's a cat roaming around. Nobody knows where it is.
Yeah, there was a great cat showed up. It used to be a witch.
Well, thanks for letting me come out, Mike. I appreciate it. Oh, big shout out Tracy Ray, one of our PAs who works extremely hard at the hospital, having a birthday on Monday. So happy birthday to him.
Oh, okay. All right, Doc, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Good to see you, Mike.
It's the Ask Dr. Rick program here on KVSH Radio. We come your way. Usually try to get this in the last Friday of each month. And Dr. Rick Malachek comes in from the Cherry County Hospital. These opinions expressed are for information and entertainment, not medical advice, and in no way should reflect anything from the Cherry County Hospital.